something that the quantum physicists discovered, or shall I say rediscovered, because, you know, the ancestors knew all about this for a long time. And that is, the simplest way to say it is that depending on what the observer is looking for or measuring will influence what they see and the results that they get. Now they're looking at subatomic particles. They've been able to demonstrate this. And it's a way where some young guy was talking, native guy was talking to his elder about some of these discoveries, and the old guy said, well, I guess these white scientists are finally beginning to catch up with us a little bit. It's always been not so much the knowledge or the understanding, but the experience of people in the past that, well, like when I said the other night, that the world is alive and aware, and I would add, in relationship to us. It's not just some inert stuff going on through mechanical laws and stuff with no relationship to us, except sometimes it seems like it's hostile or indifferent or something. No, it's like the Lakota people say, all our relations. And it's true of the tiniest little subatomic particle, all the way up as far as you want to go. All the world is our relations. And therefore, it's just like in human relationships. How you see a person will determine how you relate to them, and that will have a huge effect on what comes back to you. Yeah? Isn't that true in human relationships? Yeah. So just extend that to everything else. Rocks, weather, animals, plants, wind, subatomic particles, everything. So the way you see it actually determines how it shows up for you. If you're seeing someone, let's say, as being hostile and aggressive and whatever, you interact with them out of that view, and what happens? Something shows up which confirms that for you. I have another little story I like to tell about this one. First of all, I want to say that this modern Western view that we were all heavily brainwashed in, all of us, which says that, you know, the world isn't really alive and aware. The world is a bunch of stuff, you know, material, secular, not, you know, it doesn't have spirit, it doesn't have awareness, it doesn't have... etc., etc. I mean, we're trained in that over and over again, aren't we? Yeah? The culture reinforces it, and something in us kind of buys it, but not all the way. Because that is not what I'm going to call the natural view of any human being. The natural view that we inherited from our distant ancestors, just as we inherited our genes and chromosomes and the color of our eyes and our hair and skin and all that kind of stuff. Well, the different peoples had different views, but they all had one thing in common, that they all saw it, they all experienced the world as fully alive. And we're part of it. And that's as much a part of us as our bones. This other thing that we've been brainwashed into is superimposed on us, is not natural to us, and it causes a lot of dis-ease, a lot of feeling of lostness, a lot of, it doesn't really fit. But it's there. And under certain circumstances, the resonance can come along and it kind of wakes it up a little bit. So my story is, about 3 years ago or so, I'm sitting around a fire like this one with a bunch of people in the Santa Cruz Mountains in California. And there's a young man there, well, not so young, sort of middle-aged guy. He raises his hand, he's really excited, he wants to share something, so I called on him. And he said, you know, I read your book a couple of years ago, really resonated with me, particularly your story about the rain god. Okay, some of you may not have read that. It's the story in which I tell my experience of meeting rain, not as a meteorological phenomenon, but as a living, sacred being that I actually talked to, and talked back to me, and then informed me, and like that. Anyway, so I told that story in the book. He said, that really rang a bell with me. Anyway, he says, so a couple of weeks ago, I'm visiting with some friends here in the mountains, and I was sitting in their backyard in an armchair, and I was reading a very precious, old, very delicate scripture. He didn't say what kind of scripture, so I don't know that. And he was reading this thing. I don't know why it was so delicate. Maybe it was rice paper, or very old, or something like that. He says, so I'm reading this thing. All of a sudden I remember, oh, I have this appointment in town. So he sets down the book on the armchair and gets in the car and he drives into town. It's about a 20-minute drive. And he goes and he does his thing. And he comes out of the office or the store or whatever it was. Unexpectedly, he sees these big black rain clouds on the horizon. And lightning is coming down, and you can see the rain falling in the distance, and the wind is blowing real fast in his direction, and he knows it's going to start pouring real fast. And he's thinking, oh my God, I left that book out in the yard. And he said, something in me remembered your story. So I decided that I was going to talk to the rain god, explain the situation, and ask, please, that this sacred scripture be spared. So he made a little prayer. Now, the interesting thing there is, I say, that if he didn't have that natural inborn view of the world, that maybe the world actually does work that way. Maybe the world is alive. Maybe we do have relationship to it. Maybe it responds to us as we respond to it. If there wasn't anything there to resonate, he wouldn't even remember that story, much less decided, well, I'm going to try it and see. Anyway, he made this prayer. He jumped into his car and drove as fast as he could back to his friend's house. And he was so disappointed to see that everything was soaked, except for the chair and the book, which were dry. And so Western people say, oh, that's a miracle. But, you know, traditional people just say, what's the big deal? That's the way the world works. But my point is that if there was nothing in him to resonate, that would not have happened. And therefore, his Western view, which says, oh, you know, weather is not alive. It's all about, you know, meteorological phenomena and chemistry and physics and, you know, cold air meaning hot, moist air and producing the blah, 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 blah. And this has nothing to do with me and it doesn't care about me and we don't have any relationship and we're just at the mercy of some impersonal and possibly hostile natural force. He would have proved that true. Because if he saw the world that way, that's the way the world responds. But he saw it, what I'm going to call it, the ancestral way, and the world responded that way. So, yeah. What I'm saying is literally true. And the physicists have discovered this in their own way. I don't know how far they've gone in extending it out, but there it is.